Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Julie Kelly joins us and Michael Seifert joins us. First, to celebrate Public Square going public, I own shares and I am an investor. That's my disclaimer. We're not here to give you investment advice, but we want to celebrate this noteworthy news. And then we have Julie Kelly. I'm going to talk about, will Trump be going to federal prison? What is going on with the whistleblowers? So much there. We have some exciting news to share, a way to support our show directly. It's members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com. If you support us at charliekirk.com/support, we are migrating you all over. It's a technological endeavor that we are under. So, you know, do not worry. We'll get you guys logins and get you all figured out. But if you've not yet supported us, please go to members.charliekirk.com and try to become a monthly supporter. And you'll be able to hear exclusive conversations that we had, for example, with Tucker Carlson, Patrick Byrne, Steve Bannon, and more. So go to members.charliekirk.com. And here's a little teaser just to motivate you to become a member. And by the way, when you're a member, this is a solid program to be able to help us remain clear, confident, and unafraid against the corporate bullies. Here's a little bit of my convo with Tucker Carlson.
We talk about this sometimes. Your faith, has it strengthened? Have you grown closer, farther apart from God? Not just through this, but just in your 7 years from Fox, because you do talk more spiritually, especially in the last couple of years.
I probably shouldn't because, I mean...
Well, I love it,
you
personally.
You don't want to take spiritual advice from me.
Well, I'll be honest, Tucker. I don't take spiritual advice from Episcopalians.
Good. You shouldn't, trust me.
So when an Episcopalian tells me about the Bible, I say, stop.
Not. Well, but trust me, no Episcopalian's ever going to tell you about the Bible.
No, they'll tell you about their feelings.
Yeah,
or
no,
some
it's
social
totally
justice
right.
Waterworks
or they'll lie
project.
About it. And I was talking about this last day, actually. I've been, just for my own interest, reading the Bible since February. And
it's beautiful.
It's just so interesting. It's the most interesting thing I've ever read.
It's like, the whole civilization's based on
it. Completely blowing my mind.
Boy, if that spiked your interest, go to members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com, and become a member. I deeply appreciate it. It keeps the show strong, and we really, really are thankful. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Big day today for the Patriot economy. Joining me now is a great friend of mine, Michael Seifert, who's having a huge day, and he had a very interesting week to share. Before we go any further, I want to do full disclosure. I own shares in this company. I'm not giving you investment advice. It is a publicly traded security. I need to do all those disclaimers, right, Michael, to make sure everyone knows what's going on here. But it is publicly listed. Michael Seifert, Public Square, is now on the New York Stock Exchange. Michael, congratulations. How you doing?
I feel electric, Charlie. It's been an amazing day. It's a very good day for our company, our movement, and the country. The voices of we the people have long needed representation on Wall Street. And today, that happened. In fact, we shouted USA so loud on the trading floor that Jim Cramer with CNBC had to stop what he was saying, and he got visibly frustrated. You can find it on Twitter. Yeah. The clip is going viral. And the other guy had to close his ears as he was talking. So it was really a remarkable morning. The voices of the people are being heard, Charlie, and the parallel economy had a big win today.
It's beautiful. We have this clip here. Jim Cramer, if Jim Cramer comes out and he says that Public Square is going down, you guys are going to be a $100 billion company, because this guy is wrong just about everything. But it's so interesting. So CNBC does their live show from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and you guys are ringing the bell, and this organic chatter from the floor starts breaking out, USA, USA. And Public Square, by the way, is going up like crazy. I'm looking at the stock. Looks like there's a lot of pent-up demand for the Patriot economy. Enjoy this clip. This is amazing. It's going viral. CNBC, how dare you celebrate the country? We're just supposed to worship money around here. Play cut 109.
Overall sales.
You know, these 8,800 this quarter. The main thing you need to know, though, I think it's really important.
fans are up 40% since 2019, and that's the magic number that the Fed is upset about.
You heard the opening bell here at the big board. PSQ Holdings debuting via SPAC this morning over the NASDAQ, generic drug company ANI.
Michael, they've never experienced something like that. Was that organic? Was that some people that you guys had to come alongside and celebrate you? And by the way, the ticker symbol, again, not giving investment advice, all the disclosures there. There's so many rules around this, but it's just for anyone that might be interested. It's PSQH. Is that right, Michael?
That's correct, on the New York Stock Exchange.
And so Michael, did you bring in like a cheer team from, you know, the University of Alabama or something? Where did all that come from? It was an amazing amount of energy. I mean, just walk us through it. CNBC couldn't even believe it.
Well, what was pretty cool, Charlie, is that, yes, we had a great team there. We had a lot of our employees and partners and investors that have joined us from the beginning. But we also had a lot of the traders on the floor chanting with us. In fact, what was pretty incredible to witness is the amount of support we had from the actual employees of the stock exchange. When I got down off the podium after ringing the bell, I talked to one of the people that was leading the floor, and he said, "Hey, your approval rating in this room is 99.9%. People love what you are doing here." And the reception we received was fantastic. So I hope that sends a really loud and clear message that you're not alone. If you're watching this broadcast right now, or you're listening to this podcast, and you ever question whether or not we have a massive amount of people standing with us, today was proof that we do. We absolutely have the majority of this country that is tired of this ruling class of elites that tell us what to do. They lecture us about stupid progressive policies, and we are speaking up, we are pushing back, and we're doing it in a hopeful, positive way. We're not just boycotting, we're creating solutions. And today, again, was a big win toward that aim.
So, Michael, you had a challenging week in some ways. I mean, you and I privately dialogue a lot, but are you comfortable sharing some of it? Because there was some really unusual stuff happening. I mean, obviously, you share what you're comfortable with, but you had an interesting week. Share what you can.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to realize that the devil wears a suit and tie. And we met him this week on Wall Street. There are a lot of powerful people that did not want us to succeed. In fact, they went above and beyond to try to stop this deal from closing. We were lied to. We were manipulated. We were told by people that were supposed to trust that they would have our back into the close, and they led us wrong every time. And so we had to rely on our faith in God. We had to rely on our friends and our close partners that we did know that we could trust. And ultimately, at the end of the day, a lot of these arbitrage funds that are set up purely to make a quick buck on deals like this, thank God, a lot of them are gone. And while they did lie to us and manipulate us, we saw right through it. They tried to push us into these manipulative financial structures that would have required us to be beholden to their agenda for the coming months and would have kept us strapped for cash and really needing their hand in order to succeed. And we just said no. We said we're not going to negotiate with these people that do not want the best for our company. So I'm proud to say today that we are a company by the people, for the people, and owned by we the people. We answer to no one on Wall Street. We answer to the people. Those are our consumers. Those are our businesses. And those are not the folks that lie and manipulate to try to get quick gain. That is a small group of people that run a lot of institutions in this country, but they've been sent a clear message today. And we're going to continue sending this clear message that we're not down to do business that way. We're going to run this business with integrity, with excellence, and we're going to be honest about exactly what we're trying to do, exactly who we're trying to reach. And Charlie, I'm really grateful. As I saw the banner with Public Square's logo draped over the stock exchange today, I was reminded of just how hard of a battle we fought to get here, but how big of a win that this is. And I know that there are many more mountains to conquer and challenges to overcome. I'm so confident that with the help of we the people, we'll do it.
Yeah, and this is why I'm an investor in the company. And so, Michael, I just want to reiterate, is it fair to say that there are some big firms that were acting more ideologically than even in profit motive towards you in the last week, that were willing to lose money because what we could only assume is that they wanted to try to stunt or short circuit the launch of the Patriot economy? Michael Seifert.
That's exactly right. I mean, when I touched on some of the lying and the manipulation, that's what we experienced. We experienced people willingly choosing to sell when they could have made more by redeeming in the SPAC process in order to kind of push us into a corner. And we weren't sure why it was happening. And it was just such a mess to witness. And we heard from a lot of these folks that, hey, this might have quite a bit to do with your mission. You guys are coming out here onto Wall Street. And by the way, Charlie, just the day before, we had launched a pro-life diaper company, and they definitely do not like the pro-life cause. And so there was just this pent-up sort of anger from these institutions about what we're trying to do here. And I'm going to tell you something really sad. Charlie, some of these firms have been run by people that claim that they're conservative. And that's the most devastating part of this process is that, you know, we always complain about George Soros on the left and all these people, but at least those people are willing to prioritize their ideology and and are willing to, you know, fight for their side with their capital. Our side, you know, we have some people that claim to be conservatives, but they just stab each other in the back, and they don't love a mission if they can't control it. And, you know, that's a really disastrous reality of the movement that we have to fight back against. And again, I know we can. I know we will. And ultimately, I know that the people are on our side. People are tired of being told what to do by a few major institutions. And we're really glad to represent their voice today.
Not easy. But I want to celebrate you, Michael. You've been an entrepreneur. And, you know, we have so many mutual friends. When I first heard about Michael, it was from the great Pastor Jurgen at Awaken Church. And he was bragging on Public Square and bragging on the vision and bragging on what you guys can do. And we're starting to see, you know, we have Rumble, we have Strive, we have Public Square. We have these really amazing alternatives. And if you're interested at all, it is PSQH. The Patriot Economy is officially here. Michael, talk more broadly. This has been a very interesting summer kind of in the corporate warfare space. A lot of boycotts, stocks all over the place. You guys are building reliable, durable businesses and navigational tools for the everyday people. Your Public Square app is unbelievable. Walk us just through some of the numbers that you guys have. It's really incredible of users and businesses, and you've stood it up in a relatively short period of time. Michael.
Well, Charlie, I'll tell you this. One of the unfortunate realities, obviously, of being a public company is just that we have to be very by the book when it comes to what we're disclosing and what we're not and all of that. So the last we publicly disclosed numbers was end of June, but obviously the platforms continue to grow. But as of the end of June, we've had over 1.1 million consumer members join the platform, over 55,000 business vendors. And it's been incredible to witness the reception we've had. What I will tell you though, is that even while the growth has been tremendous and we hit a million members faster than I ever thought we could and then flew past that, one thing that's pretty neat is that I was just talking to a guy yesterday who I could have sworn would have heard about Public Square before. He's as conservative as they come, loves the country, loves to make sure that he's shopping his values. And he's like, wait, what is this? I've never heard of this. And so it's pretty cool for us, all those aha moments that we still get to see that remind us how early we truly are. And so, you know, even on Twitter this morning, our stock ticker was trending, PSQH, on the New York Stock Exchange. And to see all these comments of people saying, I've never heard of this, this is so neat, I think it points to this deeper desire people have right now for opportunities to shop their values in a parallel economy that's focused on the love for country, meritocracy, excellence, quality of products. Because that's been so lacking. You mentioned the drop of market cap from some of these other companies. Over $50 billion eviscerated just in the last few months from Target, Anheuser-Busch, Disney. By the way, Ben & Jerry's recently joined into that crew as well, with a $2.5 billion drop in market cap just the week after July 4th, when they claimed that July 4th should be dedicated to remembering indigenous land. But I think the big news of the day here for us is that people are filled with hope. Like, we haven't given up. We're pushing back. And the growth of our platform speaks to that.
It's really incredible. And just talk about, you know, the diaper company. You guys are going to be getting into durable assets that then can compete in multiple different verticals. Speak to that, Michael.
Well, that's part of the business model long term, is that we would have a lot of information about what our consumers are looking for. So they reach out every day and they say, hey, I really want product X. And for most all of life's needs, we have an awesome values aligned representative of product X that joins the platform and showcases their products. But for a few key industries, there are no alternatives that love the country, love life, family values. So what we actually get to go do is create those products with an excellent team that leads the demonstration of these products and then sell them within our own marketplace. And we did that for the first time this past week with the launch of a company called EveryLife. It is America's first and only major pro-life diaper company, because unfortunately, all the other incumbents in this space are pro-abortion, which makes no sense. Like, Hello Bello to donate to abortion for their employees is completely backwards. But that's where the industry is today. So moms need a pro-life alternative that they know will support the values that are important to their family and ultimately lead to the flourishing of society more broadly. And we did that with Every Life at everylife.com last week. And then we're going to do that again with more products into the future. Because we want to make sure that for, again, all of life's daily purchases, there's an opportunity to support a company that you know you can feel proud to back. And that's our goal here, Charlie. It stretches far beyond just the central marketplace exchange. And it looks like D2C products, durable products, B2B products. And we're grateful that we've got a lot of team members that are rallying around us from these other major industry players, leaving those entities, coming to join us, saying, I'd rather build here.
Michael, you're doing a great job. God bless you. And just, Michael, can you 30 seconds? People are saying they can't find the stock on their Schwab or their Robinhood. It takes, there's a lag time, isn't there, to get the shares issued? Can you explain that?
Yep, that's exactly right. For some folks, they're having a greater ease finding it on Schwab. Robinhood was a little delayed today getting the ticker to change. Not sure why, but we just got word that Robinhood should be live, PSQH. So, it was an interesting morning, Charlie. Not a lot of media wanted to cover what we were doing, even though it was the most popular SPAC of the last decade in terms of the opening here. So I don't quite know what's going on, but what I will tell you is that you should see it represented. And if you don't, please call your broker. We want to make sure that people have access to this if they choose to buy it. Not asking you to, but if you'd like to, you deserve access to. And so we hope that a lot of these issues get sorted out. Unfortunately, a lot of them are out of our control. These are, you know, issues with these different platforms themselves. But we're going to keep pushing back, and we hope that more people will join us along the journey.
Yeah, probably just a coincidence. Michael, thanks so much.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate the time.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Do you believe in our founders' vision for America, that our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and our duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular speech digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like print publications, Imprimis, the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Molly Hemingway, Mark Stein, Hillsdale College President Larry Piarn, among others, read by Hillsdale students. I started listening to Imprimis, and now my friends at Hillsdale, and I want you to listen for free as well. You can subscribe today to listen at Primus at charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. They do an excellent job. It is the best college in America. Hillsdale College, charlieforhillsdale.com. Okay, before we get to the great Julie Kelly, so much to explain, to explore with her, but I have to do this. So you might remember on this program, you know, we made some pretty bold predictions. We said, look, we know the grassroots. We talked to the grassroots. We had 7,000 people at our event at the Turning Point Action Conference, right? Millions of people watching online. We made a bold proclamation, and I was attacked by influencers and experts and prognosticators and consultants when I said that Vivek Ramaswamy is going to move into second place in the presidential race. And people said, you have no idea what you're talking about. And these are people that stare at screens all day long. They don't talk to human beings. Said, I don't know. You know, you ignore Turning Point Action at your own peril. Well, a new poll comes out by Kaplan Strategies, Doug Kaplan, and shows that Donald Trump has 48% in the Republican primary. Vivek Ramaswamy is tied with Ron DeSantis, 12% to 12%. It's amazing. When you don't stare at screens all day long and you talk to human beings, the actual grassroots that make the party happen, you tend to have insight that these other ivory tower intellectuals do not. And so, it's hard to say that Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign is going well. The governor of Florida, who's been a great governor, is tied with Vivek Ramaswamy that started with zero name ID. Goes to show the power, I think, of Turning Point Action and the 7,000 people we had in the room. And DeSantis did not attend, Vivek did, and he is benefiting from it. Shifting gears, Julie Kelly is with us. Julie, thank you for making time. So many different topics here that, you know, I want to cover. Let's start with a tweet that you sent about Bill Barr, and it was Miranda Devine. She says, as more info comes to light from whistleblowers or is prized out of the bowels of the FBI, you have to ask, what was the Trump DOJ doing with Biden? Corruption allegations were flooding in. This is a excellent point that I've been trying to pinpoint here on this program, that interestingly enough, the Democrats were using as a talking point where they said, well, a lot of this was happening under the Trump administration, not under the Biden administration. Julie Kelly, how should we think about this deep state? The floor is yours.
critical of Bill Barr now for years, but especially recently, as all of this information is coming out related to the unsecure, ineffective, politically charged investigation from the U.S. attorney in Delaware into Hunter Biden. Now, that was just his tax crimes. But the underlying crime there, Charlie, is that Hunter Biden and his father, now it looks like, were acting as, we would say, foreign lobbyists, unregistered foreign lobbyists. We know a lot of Trump people have gotten in trouble for that. But while Joe Biden was president, we know for a fact that Hunter Biden was collecting millions of dollars from corrupt nations like Ukraine, from hostile states like China and Russia. And what came out today, Charlie, not just, you know, more evidence of the whistleblower testimony yesterday, how the tax investigation was buried, but also now all of this evidence that the DOJ and FBI had, which was released today, this FBI form that documents information from confidential human sources, also known as informants, that seems to prove what Republicans and Donald Trump himself and others have alleged for years, and that is that Joe Biden and his son Hunter were on the take while Joe Biden was vice president from this Burisma, the owner of Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company that hired Hunter Biden in 2014 to serve as a board member. Well, of course, we know that that's not true. This was just a way to funnel millions of dollars to the Biden family, including the vice president. And this is what this FBI form that was released by Charles Grassley today seems to prove once and for all.
Yeah. And so Chuck Grassley just released the FBI confidential human source document that was so important to keep secret. And Julie, I do this for a living. I read news 12 to 14 hours a day extensively. I probably read 300 articles a day, and I cannot even keep track of whistleblower here and confidential here and Romania and Russia and Ukraine and Burisma and Kyiv. I mean, it's almost so widespread. It's hard to believe. It's almost you have a default skepticism by volume, right, Julie? There's so much you don't believe that it could potentially be true.
That's exactly right, Charlie. I mean, you and I are professionals at this. And even going through, now we've heard about this, what's called an FD 1023, this form that documented what this confidential human source was hearing from the owner of Burisma himself, who apparently paid $5 million to Hunter Biden, $5 million to Joe Biden. Also, he references him as the big guy in this form, which we know is the nickname commonly used to disguise Joe Biden's identity in a lot of these communications. So it's just shocking. It's shocking, and it's so frustrating because things like this were coming out when Donald Trump was the president. When you had Attorney General Bill Barr, who I think snookered a lot of us early on, Charlie, probably you, certainly me, things that he was saying about Russiagate, that he was going to investigate not just the origins of Crossfire Hurricane, but what happened between November of 2016 and Inauguration Day, when Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Jim Comey, Jim Clapper, John Brennan, Lisa Monaco, our now Deputy Attorney General, was really accelerating the Russia-Trump election collusion hoax, trying to undermine and derail Trump's presidency. He did none of it. And so this is what, and Charlie, I believe that he said he knew of the existence of this form and that he made sure that David Weiss, the U.S. attorney in Delaware, had this form. Now, there's some discrepancy as to whether there are investigators who said they never saw it. Bill Barr saw this in the summer of 2020. What the hell was he doing? Why did he refuse to appoint a special counsel looking into Hunter Biden? He publicly said he would not appoint a special counsel. Why did he allow this to continue and for the American people in 2020 to continue to be deceived and misled by Donald Trump's own top officials, Department of Justice officials, that there was nothing to see here when it came to this Biden crime family racket that spanned the globe for years?
Yeah, so Julie, this is an infinitely deep topic, and it's The document has the Burisma CFO says they put Hunter on their board because they could protect us, though his dad, from all kinds of problems, which obviously we knew. Reminder that the insanely dishonest press pushed the lie that Hunter was world-class as an anti-corruption expert when he's literally just a drug-addicted, whoremongering loser. And so, and of course, he was a corruption expert because he was corrupt as the day is long. But there was this one congressman yesterday who I don't know. So I was watching the hearing in between breaks, and he was asking, you know, the whistleblower X and Shipley. He said, well, wasn't all of this under Trump? Wasn't all this under Trump? Who was president? Who was president? And that was kind of a repeated narrative from what I understand in the hearing. And the Democrats aren't wrong, but they're also proving that there's a deeper administrative state here that goes beyond. And it really kind of goes to show that Donald Trump was never actually in control of several parts of the American government, despite being president of the United States. Julie Kelly.
That's exactly right, Charlie. And it is frustrating. But look, you also have to assign blame to Donald Trump himself. He recognized, especially in 2019, how corrupt and ineffective and partisan Christopher Wray was. There are reports that Donald Trump told Attorney General Bill Barr in early 2020 that he planned to fire Christopher Wray. Apparently, Bill Barr told Donald Trump if he did that, he would resign. Well, right then and there, he should have fired both of them. But he didn't. And then when Bill Barr undermined him during the riots and really undermined, worked with the defense secretary at that time, Mark Milley, to undermine Donald Trump if he planned to invoke the Insurrection Act. You remember all of that drama. There are multiple occasions where Donald Trump should have fired Christopher Wray, should have fired Bill Barr, should have fired every single U.S. attorney, should have installed somebody who would have appointed special counsel on many of these topics, many of these scandals, but he didn't. And that's why Bill Barr needs to answer. And that was the crux of my tweet. Not only for what his knowledge was of what this confidential human source was telling the FBI, all of what we're learning about Hunter Biden, not just his tax crimes. Again, now keep in mind, Charlie, one of the tax crimes that Hunter Biden is accused of is in 2014, failing to report $400,000 that he got from Burisma. As you know, in 2014 is when Burisma hired Hunter Biden to be on his board. That very year, 2014, he didn't put it on his tax returns. He didn't put it on in 2015. And that's why DC U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, the Biden appointee, who now we know from whistleblowers, when presented with this information last year, also declined to prosecute Hunter Biden. But this all goes back to Bill Barr. He needs to sit before Congress, either House Judiciary or weaponization or oversight. He has all this time to go on Fox News, Charlie. It's time for him to go before Congress under oath and explain not just this, what he did during during the summer riots, and more importantly, the Whitmer Fednapping hoax. I'd like to know what he knew and when he knew it.
So Julie, stay right there. And I have to just say that the Shakespearean tragedy of the first Trump term is people that were put in positions of power and said, you can trust me, Mr. President, ended up doing the Brutus Cassius thing, A to Brute. And it was like multiple stabbings from every direction. Bill Barr and Omarosa and John Bolton. It was from every possible direction repeatedly. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Does lack of energy, memory issues, brain fog, or other mysterious health issues cause you distress? If so, listen up, because I dealt with the same exact issues until I found Strong Cell. Strong Cell is a liquid NADH supplement packed with highly bioavailable CoQ10, marine collagen, and tons of essential vitamins. All of these work together with NADH to improve your health at the cellular level. There are cells in every area of your body, so if your cells are healthy, you'll be healthier. I'm asked by a lot of nutrition companies to endorse their products, and I say no to most of them. But once I saw what Strong Cell did for me personally, I reached out and teamed up with them. Go to strongcell.com/Charlie today and check it out for yourself. I take it every day, and it's made a big impact on my life. Remember, this is not an overnight fix. It's repairing your body at the cellular level, so you got to give it time for it to work. I recommend you try the 30-day supply to give your body the greatest chance to see the benefits. Visit strongcell.com/Charlie or call 888-596-0155 or use promo code Charlie to get a special 20% off discount. That's strongcell.com/Charlie.
Julie Kelly continues with us. So Julie,
about a month and a half, 2 months ago, you came on this program so clearly said that Donald Trump will be indicted on federal charges. You were one of the people that just said it so bluntly, and you're being proven right, not just on the document thing. But what do you think we can expect on this Jack Smith looming indictment? And do you think that the Michigan elector dynamic is part of an interlocked strategy here by the feds?
Yes, I do. So what you're referring to is State Attorney General Dana Nessel, who charged, I believe, 14 individuals, most of them senior citizens, by the way, for this fake electoral scheme. Now, Charlie, let's talk about this really quick. It's very confusing, but it was basically a PR political stunt. It was basically people who got together who were electors, and they put together these false or fake certifications that if something happened with the Electoral College vote, as that kind of intensity was gathering, that something might actually happen, which of course led to the events of January 6th, that there would be these alternative slate of electors. It was nothing legitimate, and it certainly was nothing criminal. What could be criminal about it? Well, with Dana Nessel, and it looks like Jack Smith could do this too, is charge them with some sort of fraud or conspiring to commit fraud. Could be mail fraud or wire fraud. Some of these were sent to the National Archivist. It's a joke. And this has been done before. Charlie, you might recall in 2016, there was a very public and powerful effort to get Trump electors to flip and instead vote for Hillary Clinton. This came from the very top echelons of Hillary Clinton's own campaign, including John Podesta. There was a whole organization put together, media campaign, to put pressure on some of these electors who were getting death threats because of this. So now you've got a bunch of baby boomers in some, you know, room in Michigan putting together pretend electoral certification letters, and Dana Nessel, the attorney general for the state of Michigan, is now going to prosecute them. So yes, you're exactly right. This is all tied together. It's lawfare and it's also optics. But back to what you were saying, yes, I predicted for over a year that the DOJ and then special counsel Jack Smith, who was appointed in November, would bring a multi-felony count criminal indictment against Donald Trump and others for their alleged role in the events of January 6th. Donald Trump confirmed on Truth Social this week that he had received a target letter from Jack Smith. And you and I have discussed some of the possible charges, but this poses perhaps the greatest legal risk and jeopardy for the former president. Classified documents case, and I'm following that as well, in Southern Florida, is far flimsier and far less convincing and will take place in a far less friendly jurisdiction venue than Washington, D.C. But this is going to be a real problem for Donald Trump and whoever else is indicted as co-conspirators.
So, yeah. So, Julie, if you were to speculate, who else do you think would be charged and for what? If you were just to kind of guess who's on the potential drawing board here.
So first, let me say any conspiracy charges, and DOJ is very conspiracy charge happy. So any conspiracy charge would require the defendant to have a co-conspirator, at least one, perhaps many. So we already know that they've been looking at Rudy Giuliani, that they've been investigating people like John Eastman, people like Jeffrey Clark, who was the acting deputy attorney general on January 6th. It could be Trump White House officials. It could be members of Congress. This DOJ is so out of control, so vengeful, and so unaccountable by judges and anyone else, that they know they can get away with bringing charges with little to no evidence against anyone that they choose, especially, Charlie, when it happens in the District of Columbia, which is where all of these January 6th, more than 1,000 criminal cases have been prosecuted. And this is where the charges, the grand jury indictment, all the court proceedings and the trial will take place, a city that voted 93% for Joe Biden.
It's unbelievable. They should request a venue change. They're going to get denied by these judges. You cannot have fair justice as an outspoken conservative. You cannot. The entire jury pool is infected. And by the way, this is how ridiculous it is. It's just, if there was a Democrat that was on trial in Midland, Texas, they'd be like, oh, it's not fair, and they would get the trial moved. It's zip code justice. It's a bad development. Julie, you've been on top of the game. I think we're going to see an indictment very soon. I'll be curious to see who the alleged co-conspirators are, but this alternate elector thing is a big deal as far as what they're trying to do here. Julie, thank you so much. Great job.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.